The Spanish have a story about a father and son who were alienated. And the son left home, and the father set out to find him and searched for many months, but with at no success. Finally, in desperation, the father took out a newspaper ad that read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that amazing? 800. You can imagine that all of the special and precious moments in life that are thrown away by the thief of unforgiveness. So let's read our passage this morning, and I'm going to be talking specifically on forgiveness, and I really need you to have an open heart this morning, because there's a lot of mix-up on what that is. So let's read ours. I'll read the white, and you read the yellow. "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." It's Christ. Christ be you. Wow. Yeah, that's kind of sobering, isn't it? We are to forgive because he forgave us. God in Christ, meaning the Father, forgave us through Christ's willingness to go to the cross and pay the price for our sin. So let's talk about forgiveness this morning. Let's look at the dictionary definition, and then we'll expand on our idea of forgiveness from God's Word. Encarta Dictionary says this: "Forgiveness is the act of pardoning or releasing somebody for a mistake or wrongdoing, to stop being angry about or resenting someone or somebody's behavior, excuse somebody for a mistake, misunderstanding, wrongdoing, or inappropriate behavior, dismissing the debt." Now, the word forgive in Greek, the root of forgiveness is grace, meaning favor bestowed when you don't earn it or deserve it. And in our fallen world, forgiveness is essential to maintain close relationships. Isn't that true? But when we don't do it, it is hard to have a close relationship. And we need the forgiveness, and we need to grant other people forgiveness, because we all have sinned, and we all have sinned against. Amen? Are you willing to admit that? That you've been the perpetrator as well as the person who's been hurt? And we all in turn have a hard time forgiving others because it's simply not an easy task. In fact, I'm willing to bet that half of you in here don't want to hear the sermon this morning. Right? Because there's a certain sense of want to hold on. And, I thought, before we leave chapter 4, I want to talk about forgiveness. I want to do some good study, figure out once and for all what it is that God wants us to do. And then I started waking up in the night thinking about people I probably haven't forgiven that I thought I forgave. Or they haven't forgiven me. And I woke up several times, and it was like a rude awakening. And probably it's the same for you. And so, here's the thing. It's not easy to define what God wants when you put some of the scriptures together. And so you see all kinds of writers and preachers saying conflicting things about forgiveness. You know, the deeper you have been hurt, the more difficult it is to forgive. Some of you were abused emotionally, physically, sexually as children by your parents or a trusted family member. Some of you have been children who were abused by a mate or by a family member. Some of you have been betrayed by an unfaithful mate that you deeply cared for. These kind of wrongs are not easy to forgive, and don't we know it? But if you're a Christian this morning, and 99% of you are, I don't know who that one person isn't, but they'll raise their hand at the end probably. But if you're a Christian this morning, Seeking and granting forgiveness is not an option. Do you hear me that? Do you hear me, Christian? It's not an option. We think it's an option. God doesn't think it's an option. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, what? Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, I thought about this, and boy, in the Gospels, Jesus is so hard. In the Lord's Prayer, he says this to his disciples, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, we understand that. But a few verses later, he tells his Jewish audience, listen, if you do not forgive others, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Oh my gosh. I am so glad we aren't under that gospel at this point, or that particular thing, because under Judaism, because we know that we're forgiven even when we're unaware of our unforgiveness. But what a strong statement. And I think that statement helps us to understand God's mind and heart in forgiveness. He wants it done. Amen? And so it's vital for you and I as Christians to grapple today with understanding and practice of forgiveness. So what does it mean to ask forgiveness or to be forgiven or to forgive? And I just want to say this, that in this passage, if you go to the very next verse in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and be imitators of Christ. I think that they put the chapter break in the wrong place. I think that belongs to the forgiving one another. Forgive one another because we want to imitate Christ. So I want to demonstrate how the world has come in and changed it, and that's why we're so confused. Apologizing is the world's substitute for forgiveness. What do you think about that for a second? Apologizing is the world's substitute for forgiveness. The Bible never says to apologize. It allows the offender to tell you how he feels without admitting or acknowledging his sin, and it doesn't ask the one sinned against to grant forgiveness to them. Oh, I'm so sorry. In fact, how many times have you walked away when somebody says, I'm so sorry, and you've walked away and you thought, wait a minute, what are they sorry for? Because it's not explained. In fact, sometime, I want you to do this, just try this. When you sinned against someone else, when you have created an offense, it may not be intentional, whatever it may be, admit to them that you've sinned against that person. When you have, obviously, state it clearly and then ask them to forgive you. All right? And you will be surprised at the response. They usually play it down at what you say because it's too pointed and it's too uncomfortable and it's somewhat unheard of in our society. Really, when you say, please forgive me, I've sinned against you, is that our societal way? No. I'm sorry. I mean, just recently, I had said something that was a little inconsiderate to somebody, and I walked away, and I thought, oh, wait a minute. So I went back, and I said, you know what? Will you forgive me? I didn't mean that to come out inconsiderate. And to my surprise, they wouldn't take it. It was like, oh, no, it's no big deal. It's a big deal, isn't it? No big deal. I didn't even think about it twice. There's nothing to forgive. Oh, yes, there is. Biblical forgiveness, I believe God is saying this. The wrongdoer, and I want you to listen to this, and I want you to look at the screen here. The wrongdoer, this is the process, okay, the key. The biblical forgiveness, I believe God is saying this. The wrongdoer admits, I sinned against you by and whatever it is, and ask, will you forgive me? And the one wrong, as a Christian, must respond by promising, I forgive you. Does everybody follow that? I think that's the biblical model. Isn't that what Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross? And we're to be imitators of him? This is very different than, like I said, well, I'm sorry, I said that. You're really talking about you. It's all about you. It's not about the other person who you've wronged. Paul says that we're to forgive each other just as God in Christ forgave you. God did not say to us, hey, don't worry about it. We all make mistakes. Never said that. You won't find it. Look it up. Rather, our sin renders us truly guilty before God's justice. We have violated his law. He requires that a penalty be paid. But in his love for us, he sent his son, paid our penalty that we deserved. And when we respond to Jesus Christ, God graciously and totally forgives the debt of sin, and he releases the sinner from the guilt of sin. That's his process. And he promises, listen to this, and he promises not to remember our sins anymore. And I think that means not that he won't remember that they're there, but he won't bring it up into judgment again. And so he reconciled us. He reunited us through Christ's faith and blood as a substitute for our penalty, and that's the biblical pattern. Makes you almost want to worship, doesn't it? Man, when I thought about this, I thought, man, we just do not understand in very much depth what Christ really did on that cross in forgiving us. You know, a friend of Clara Barton, the founder of American Red Cross, was once reminded of an especially cruel thing that a person had done to her years before, but Miss Barton did not seem to recall it. Don't you remember it? Her friend asked. No, said Miss Barton, I distinctly remember forgetting it. Biblical forgiveness is a decision. So using God's forgiveness as a pattern, we could say the following. Forgiveness is a decision to drop the offense and let it go. So I want to give you five basic things about forgiveness. Number one, it's to release the offender from the guilt of sin, as Christ did to us. If we follow his pattern towards us and we imitate Christ, we release the offender from the guilt of their sin. Number two, we refuse to bring the offense up again to use against the offender. Listen to Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. It isn't that God has amnesia. Rather, he means he will not bring those offenses up again, as I said earlier. Number three, to refuse to think about or ponder the offense. How many times have we said, okay, you're forgiven or whatever, and then we bring it up over and over? We talked about this last week. It is to refuse to do that, to stop doing that. God in heaven is not rehearsing your sin. Sometimes we think he is, right? Because that's our human thing. So we think God's up there and say, Steve, he really blew it before he became a Christian. And he's not doing such a hot job as a Christian. And he did this. He doesn't do that. He sees us through rose-colored glasses because he's made the decision to forget my sin. He made the decision to forget your sin. We just have that tendency to dwell. And so if you have told somebody that you forgive them, you break your promise when you start rehearsing it. You break your promise. You either forgave them or you didn't. Number four, to refuse to talk to others about the offense. How many times has somebody offended us and they tell us we're sorry or they're sorry and we say, hey, no problem and all that kind of thing, or however we handle it, And then pretty soon, we are talking to somebody else about it, and we're getting all riled up again. Man, they really did dog us, you know. Somehow, we end up making the offender pay more and more and more down the line instead of dropping that offense. And maybe you're even trying to evoke a little sympathy. I need sympathy here. He hurt me really bad, or she hurt me really bad. I just need the sympathy, and you're doing it at their expense, which is not forgiveness in any form. Don't you love this hardcore black and white? When you forgive, you choose to drop the matter. Now, I want to add a caveat on this because I'll get 100 emails and a lot of people talking to me. There is an exception on not talking about that. And that is when you see an offender who has offended you begin to repeat the same thing, and it's kind of a gigantuous sin. Let me give you an example. Let's say that abused your kid or did whatever, and you've forgiven them, you haven't forgot, that's not the issue, it's not amnesia, but you're no longer going to deal with it, and then all of a sudden you see this person saddling up with another family looking at their kids. I just had a case where somebody just talked to me last week about that very thing. And so what do? We have to go tell that other family, hey, you need to watch this guy. I think, here's the way I look at it. Forgiveness is dismissing the resentment and sin, but still doing what is morally and legally right. Do you hear me on that? Sometimes we have to do that. Number five, to reconcile or reunite with the offender as far as it is biblically possible. God forgives us so that we may be reconciled to Him and enjoy that close relationship with Him. When we forgive others, we also seek to restore the broken relationship in a loving way, knowing it may never even return back to what it was, but loving them in Christ as Christ loved us. To say, I forgive you, but I never want to see your face again, is not forgiveness. And even then, when we feel that way, we're commanded to love our enemies. Bless those who curse us, right? And pray for those who mistreat us. Biblical forgiveness is a decision to be acted on, to release the offender from the guilt of sin, to refuse to use the offense against them, to refuse to rethink or ponder the offense, and to refuse to talk to others about the offense, and to try to reconcile if it's possible. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we're going to enter into the Lord's Supper. This is the last week of this month. And here's what I would love for you to do. We have the communion over on the table. So we're going to go again and get our bread and juice. And you may get that for someone you're sitting with or whatever, so it doesn't have to get too crowded. But here's what I want you to think about. Where are you on forgiveness this morning? I don't have to ask, has anybody wronged you? Because it's unanimous. Or you've wronged someone else and you need to go talk to them about forgiveness. Will you think about that and pray about that as we go to get our bread and our juice and come back, and then we're going to do worship. So as we begin to do the worship, feel free to go get that, bring it back, sit down, and then pray about it. Ask the Lord for that teachable heart. Will you do that? The West, so far has He cast our sin from us, the psalmist said. And I look at that and I think, you know, here is Jesus in the upper room with His disciples, realizing He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for our sins so that we could be completely forgiven. That there would be no more resentment from God. He would dismiss it. He wouldn't remember our sin anymore, all because of the act of Jesus Christ. What a load to carry that Christ had. And he took this bread and he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me, and let's remember him this morning. And then he took the cup after supper and said, this represents my blood. And we know that it was through his blood that we have the removal of sin. And let's give God the glory this morning together. Father, we just thank you so much. And we thank your Son, Jesus Christ, for being the sacrifice, for being the penalty, for taking on all the sin of the world and dying it. And Lord, we keep messing up thinking that we still have some kind of action in that. Lord, will you heal our heart in that? Grace is grace. Grace isn't works. And you saved us by grace through faith. And we thank you for that. While your heads are bowed, you may be here this morning. You've come looking for a relationship with God. Maybe you've realized you haven't forgiven. Maybe you realize that you're bearing some sin and it's driving you crazy like it did me before I became a Christian. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if I'm talking to you, my friend, this morning, and you look like to put your faith and trust in God and in Jesus Christ, I'm going to pray a little prayer and you pray along with me. The prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. I believed you rose from the dead, and you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. And if you prayed that prayer, will you raise your hand up, put it back down, let God know you meant business. Just stick it up. Thank you. Anybody else? Stick it up high and put it back down. Father, we just thank you for your love for us, for your forgiveness, your complete and utter forgiveness. And Lord, help us to have that same plea, complete and utter forgiveness as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And Lord, may we ask for forgiveness for our trespasses against other people, that we might have a body of Christ who has real relationship, real connection, and real intimacy, because we don't let those sins stay in the way and create a barrier. Lord, we ask you that in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.